morning, Dr. Larry Addato, one of Rick's cousins.
Thank you, and thank you for asking me to talk. In memory of Rikicho. Rick was 5 months older than me, so we grew up together as part of the Aguado clan. And we all did all the things that we did growing up. We played together. We played Army in the Forest behind the brown house on 48th Street. We had played on the slip and slide. We survived that too. Baseball in the backyard, slots cards that Uncle Pat would buy for us, and sleepovers. We tried to see who could sleep in as long as possible. We grew up together as much as we possibly could. One of the funniest things about Rick was in 8th grade, he was of course known as Ricky Joe. And in 8th grade, the computer assigned him to Girls Gym, because he was Ricky Joe. And after that, he was known as Rick. He grew up allergic to chocolate, so Grandma Sophie would bring up white chocolate from San Francisco, right? And so whenever I'd have sneak a little piece of Hershey's cookies and cream with the white chocolate, I would think about Rick and how he introduced me. The parties in his basement, and if you remember, he had the world's best collection of the 45 records in his little gray box. Remember that? We got to have the best parties because Rick had the best records. Play drums, right? Like the joke was because his mom always told him to beat it. He was the world's best dresser. I remember he was looking keen to march down. And then you'd be able to, and then you'd get the suit going right down the middle. Just perfect. He's just the best dresser. Of course, he had the best hair. If you look at his Frank Ventolo, you know, he had much shoulders and hair with a little curl on the band, just comb just straight. You know, he was just immaculate with his dress and with his appearance, something that he was not, of course, great family. But what was important about that is even at the time, when he was there, he still had a sense of looking good. His hair was always good, he always dressed good, he always smelled good. He was a pretty amazing guy. We prepared for our bar mitzvahs at the same time, since we were both about the same age, and I remember comparing, you know, what he's doing, what I'm doing, and he had such pride and devotion, and the sense of responsibility, you know, for what he was about to do to prepare for his bar mitzvah. He wanted to do it just right, and that's who Rick was. He always wanted to do just the best. Of course, his two prides and joy, Tisha and Tiara. We always admired how you treated him like a king when he came to Seattle and talked so lovingly with him. And many people know about the letters that the two of you wrote a few months ago. We read it. And when we would come into the room, Rick couldn't say much or do much, but there was a little sign there, "Please read these." And if anybody has an opportunity to read these letters that Tisha and Tiara wrote to Rick, expressing their love and how they felt that he was their hero, they're tremendous letters. They're very nice work. But it says a lot for Rick and the two girls to make work. So that's Rick, from my perspective, a little bit. And I'd like to talk for a few seconds about what's the value of a life that makes it worth being called meaningful? So Uncle Pat worked as Miner's Music. There was always music instruments around the house. One day we were just hanging out, listening to Johnny Rivers singing Summer Rain. And there was one part, little four note sort of down chord sort of a thing, and I was holding one of the many guitars and musical instruments. I had a guitar in my hand, and I happened to pluck those four notes, and that was in the song. And that was the beginning of my learning how to play guitar, and the beginning of a whole lifetime of playing guitar, and being involved with different areas of my life, and the pleasure of playing guitar. So that was, again, being involved with Rick. Rick got me my first real job working at McDonald's, 3 cheers a day. which taught me the value of hard, consistent work. Most importantly, is this story that we didn't grow up going to camp, unfortunately, but Rick got to go to camp, Sephardic camp, as an art counselor during the summertime between 8th and 9th grade. And as usual, there was a camp reunion, and this was at Tawana State Park outside of Burmese or whatever. And he invited me to come, so he was going, and all of his friends were going to be there. And so I went there, and that one act of asking me to go to the Sephardic camp reunion actually turned out to be the very beginning of my whole religious turnaround, because I was on this camp path way out. And so I was introduced to a whole new group of friends and a whole new set of religious experiences that was really important to changing my life. And so whatever I've become religiously, I truly owe to Rick and that one little invitation to go to a Sephardic camp reunion. So I owe him everything religiously. So what's the value of a life? Value comes in many ways. Judaism teaches that if you do one of God's commandments, you get credit for doing that. But when you inspire somebody to do an action, and they do that commandment, that person's going to get the credit for doing the commandments of God. But because you were the inspiration, you also get the credit for what that other person did. It explains a lot about what we do at funerals and Wagandas later on, when we make blessings over food, we go to the synagogue. When you go to the synagogue for Wagando, and you're going there specifically to memorialize somebody, that person that's passed away is the motivation for you going to the synagogue. You get the credit for going to the synagogue, but even after they pass away, they still get credit for what you're doing. And so all these things in my life that have happened and in other people's lives that have happened because of Rick, he gets the credit for all the good things that we do because he was our motivation. So I've really benefited a lot from being with Rick. So a person's value. Only God, in his infinite wisdom, really knows what a person is worth. God decides how he wants us to serve him, like a man or a woman. Smart or not so smart. Rich or just getting by. Or as a healthy, strong person, or as a sick person. God decides how we are going to serve him. It's important to remember, though, that El Dios grande, that God is great and good, and everything that God does is for our benefit and for the benefit of everybody else that we come in contact with. So let's look at Rick's greatness. During his years in nursing homes, he never complained about anything except a sore jaw. Other than that, he always had a smile of his disposition, so that he lived a life of happy suffering. Never spoke badly about people. One of the biggest religious challenges that anybody has, any Jew, any human being has, is not saying anything bad to anybody or about anybody. When you go to visit Rick, he's always conscious, always asking about our family and whatever else is going on, but he's always conscious. Also, by living at the Klein, he got to eat kosher food and attend Shabbat services regularly. When we were there on Shabbat morning, and he was not able to speak very well, you could see him lying back in his wheelchair, and you could see him mouthing the words of the prayers, the Shema prayer, the songs that we would say. And it was such heartfelt devotion. It was an amazing thing to watch that he prayed like an angel who was just standing directly in front of God. It was an amazing experience to see. drive grateful to go to the clients is to be able to finish our services and pray for the Rick. So I believe that Rick, with all his suffering, led a life much more meaningful than most of us mortals. I admire him, and I'm so appreciative of every second Rick was with us on Earth. He was also my hero, and I'm now grateful that he has accomplished his mission that God sent him here for, and now he'll be able to rest comfortably in peace in paradise next to God's holy throne. May Rick's soul be bound in the bond of eternity, and this is hope in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. We'll now hear from one of Rick's friends, Mr. Jack Shaw. Jack.
Thank you very much for giving me these 3-4 minutes just to talk about my very good and close friend, Rick Levitt. We had great teenage years together. There were some of us together. Larry was there. Larry Hazels, Ben Bavani, Norman Hazels, of course, Rabbi Vernon too. We all had a great time together. And I would frequently stay overnight at the Levitt house. And waking up to the smell of Becky's Borekas and Spinach Dilemmas and was just heavenly. And then walking upstairs and sitting at the kitchen table and listening to Pat tell off Rick and I that we are knuckleheads because we're sleeping at the table, that was priceless. Rick loved a few things back in those days and carried on into his adulthood. He loved to dress good. He loved baseball. He loved his religion, and he loved going to synagogue. And Rick loved girls. I won't dwell on the girl part that much, but let's talk about his clothes. As Larry said, he would dress like he just came out of a GQ magazine. His hair was perfect. His bow tie was perfect. The colors he wore were perfect, and he had that walk down perfect, too. I'll never forget that it was Rick that got me into wearing those platform shoes. So I went from 5'7 to 5'10 in just an instant, and I always thank him for that. We would argue about girls till early in the morning. He'd be saying if she likes her and him, and then if she likes him and she likes him, well, then she'll like you, Jack. And we would talk until 2, 3 in the morning about that. And he'd have the best and sweetest lines. And he would take those lines from R&B songs and from soul songs. I didn't stand a chance. One week I went on vacation to Las Vegas or Hawaii, I forgot where. And my girlfriend came up from California. And by the time I got back, Rick was dating her and was going out with her. I asked him, I said, Rick, what are you doing? I thought we're friends. You know, Rick in his high voice, he said, man, wasn't my fault. She just came on to me. So that was Rick. And we still would laugh about it 40 years later at the Klein Gallen home. It was great. He could throw a baseball with the best of them. He had a mean curveball and a wickedly hard fastball. That would be a great time when we were in the backyard and pitching to each other. And he loved his religion in Sephardic Becker Holam. Even when he was in a wheelchair, he wanted to come to the synagogue. And I could hear him sing the melodies and the prayers, even though his voice wasn't that loud. But what I'll always remember about my friend Rick is that he made me a better person. See, Rick never gave up. He never had any self-pity. When I would go visit him, he would be in so much pain, but the first words out of Rick's mouth were, how's your son? How's your mom? How's your brother and your sister doing? Not once did he ever utter a woe is me line. That made me look at my life different. I learned not to dwell on the negative because of my friend. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And in conclusion, the main thing that made Rick want to keep living was the love that he had for his two girls, Tisha and Jira. He loved you two and was so proud of you two so much. He couldn't stop talking about you and couldn't wait to see you again. Both of you were the highlight of his life. Carry on your dad's memory by the way you live with your friendships, your love, your respect for other people, and by never giving up. I'm like all of us here today. I'm lucky, I'm fortunate, and I'm blessed to have had Ricky Joe Leavitt in my life. And I thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. We have two more sets of speakers. This time I'd like to call upon Rick's sister, Francine, and her daughters, Alexis and Jacqueline. Please come forward.
So I'd like to thank everybody for coming and being here and honoring my brother. And for those of you who did speak, I appreciate all the kind words. For those of you who are holding it, I know you have it in your heart. And I thank you for that. I would like to say Rick was lucky to have so many wonderful people looking after him. The Kleindown home, the hospital staff, were more than just caregivers. They were his family for the past 20 years. He also had close friends and family that really cared about him. But truthfully, I think we can all agree that Rick really cared. I think we can all agree that everyone that Rick knew was very lucky to have known him. He was a brother, a son, a father, a grandpa, an uncle, and a godfather. But he was more than that. He was my hero as well. Growing up, I was the youngest child, but I always felt a strong need to be the protector of my big brother. He was my hero from the time I was born to this very day. I've never met a man stronger than him. MS is a terrible disease, but he was always the most positive person I knew. Rick was a very selfless person. Every time you were in a room with him, he made things about the other person, he made things about the other person, not about him. If you wanted to know how he was doing, he would always say, "I'm fine, but more importantly, how are you?" Because that was what was important to him. He fought for over 20 years with a fierce passion and had a vivacious laugh that could light up a room. He never complained, nor did he ever show the pain he was really in. We complain about our daily inconveniences all the time, but he never did. Rick never let anyone know of his suffering and lived for over 20 years with dignity and a smile on his face. Rick would always put others first as someone who loved a good laugh, jokes, and pranks were one to be reckoned with. Come as someone who had everything stripped from him, family, friends, vision, movement, everything, have such inner positivity and strength. I think we can all learn a little something from Rick. He fought for so long and never gave up. He had a lot of close calls, but like a resilient cat, he had more than 9 lives. If anyone was deserving of over 9 lives, it was him. I think his positivity radiated through not only his life, but the lives of others around him. And it's that positivity and that will to live that kept him around for so long. We can all hope and adopt such charisma and hopefulness. We are all just busy creatures hoping to get by in life, but in its moments of losing someone we so deeply love, that we realize our lives are just built out of the chaos and hope. This desire to be loved and understood is all Rick ever wanted. He wanted to be loved and made people laugh, and this is what he did. I'm so proud to say he's my big brother. I love him dearly. When I was asked to be his guardian, it was the most highest honor that I could ask for. There was nothing I would not do for him or his girl. They were my life, and they are my life, as well as my kids. And as I knew, his two baby girls sitting over here meant the world to him. I took it upon myself to make sure that forever I will hold them very close to me. And even recently knowing he was a grandfather and a precious little girl was one of the biggest pleasures that had happened in his life. Our world has lost one of a kind human being, and someone like him can never be replaced. I hope we can send him away with words of love. He wouldn't want us to mourn, but to laugh and play and speak of things that inspire us. And I think we can all agree that if we've learned anything from Rick, he was who inspired us all. Thank you.
Thank you, Francine, Jacqueline, and Alexis. And now I'd like to call on Rick's daughters, Tisha and Tiara, to, I understand, recite the poem. Thank you all for your kind and heartfelt words that you shared with us in memory of this friend of mine, friend of ours, and one who touched so many people's souls. He was a kind soul himself. Rick was only 59 years old, but his life's experience made him someone worthy of an elderly person. Because what he accomplished in his short lifetime, many people who live many more years, more than 59, couldn't even accomplish. He was a loving son, devoted brother, father, grandfather, uncle, cousin, and a dear friend. We read in the book of Qohelet, which is Ecclesiastes, maybe some of you are familiar with this, and there's a beautiful verse in there. V'haruach tashuv el ha'elohim asher netata, which means the soul will return to God, to the one who originally granted it, who gave it. The character of a life depends upon the carer which the individual devotes to keeping his soul pure and untarnished. The soul is the spiritual force within a human being which raises humankind above all living creatures. Human beings are very unique. It is the soul that inspires us. It is the soul that draws us to doing good and rejecting evil. And it is the soul that helps us overcome life's obstacles and not to succumb to weakness. It is the soul that helps us embrace life and happiness and joy and clean and cherish and value life and everything that life has to offer. This is true strength. This is what we call in Hebrew, Gibor. Somebody who's very, very strong. Strength doesn't necessarily mean you're working out in a gym and you're making yourself look like $1 million. But this kind of strength is very difficult to achieve, and it's the kind of strength and courage that we all know Rick had. He was such a strong individual in this matter. As we all heard today, you know, his smile was, I mean, if I think of Rick, as both Larry and Jack recall, when you think of Rick, I can't think of him without a smile on his face. Even when you did visit him, and his condition was obviously challenging to onlookers, but obviously to him, but you would never know it because he was an accepting and kind human being. And I say accepting because he wasn't angry with what he had to deal with. And that is such an accomplishment and such a hurdle. He never complained, and he accepted what life had given him, what God had determined was his path. And this, you know, these are just words, but if you scratch the surface a bit, this is what I consider, and what many consider, and what I call is he had a great sense of mitzvah, meaning he understood life in a certain and very specific way. He had a deep faith in God, and he didn't argue with reality. Rather, he accepted it, dealt with it, and didn't make his problems anybody else's problems with whom he came in contact. He was never disingenuous, that I remember him. Growing up, we all went to Franklin High School together, and Rick was this happy-go-lucky guy, loved to socialize, loved to have fun like we all did, but he had a unique trait in that what you saw was what you got, and it was all good. He never picked a fight. He never was coy with his words. He never was clever with his activities and vying for position or competitive. As a matter of fact, I found him to be just the opposite. When he came across something good, he wanted to share it with you. He was in the Franklin High School marching band, and he was a drummer, and he was a good drummer. And I remember he wanted his friend, he asked me, Frank, why don't you come and join, we'll be on it together. And he said, oh, come on, it'll be just great, we'll go to all the football games. He could have hogged the spotlight of being in a band or an orchestra to himself, but he wanted a friend there. Turns out I didn't do it. I kind of wish I did. It probably would have been fun and spend more time with Rick. But my point is that he was inclusive of others. Another attribute of Rick that just shouts out at me is that his mind and heart were synchronized with his actions. Echad balev ve'echad bapeh. What he did with his activities and what he said reflected his mind and his heart. He wasn't out to impress people, to be someone who he's not, or again, it goes back to the competitive edge. He was Rick Levitt, and he was a dear friend, and he had no airs about him. And this is very difficult also to achieve because he was real. He also was a very trusting human being. And he was trusting because I believe that's how he was brought up. I remember his parents well, Becky and Pat Love of a blessed memory. And in fact, I'm no stranger to the greater Aguado family. I don't know your father's side of the family, the Levitt side of the family, but I'm no stranger to the Aguado side of the family, the cousins and friends and relatives. And they are a very happy, have great roots in the foundation of this community. And again, they are the kind of people that they are what they appear to be. Kind, friendly, generous, very devoted, very dedicated, accepting of what life brings them and should always bring them happiness and only good blessings. But this is how Rick was. He was trusting in the way that he would always give you the benefit of the doubt. This is also a great attribute, that in order to be trusting, you have to live in a trusting environment because you have innocence. And that is how he conveyed his life as well. He believed deeply in God. He loved, as it's been stated before earlier, he loved anything Jewish. He loved to put on a talet and go to synagogue. He loved his talega. He loved going to services. He loved hearing the music. He loved being with his friends in synagogue, and he loved the community. Oftentimes, the community had to go to him towards the end of his life because he was limited. But I know, God bless all the people who attended the Klein Gallen services and gave much happiness to Rick so he could not only visit with his friends and co-religionists in the community, but they also provided services for him. One thing that, and I will conclude with this, that also stands out, and Larry Adato alluded to this as well, is that he was natural at being humble before God. He did love to pray. He enjoyed what that meant. He never gave up hope on anything. And when the cards were stacked against him, an onlooker would never know it. Someone who visited him would never know it. He also always asked of your well-being. I know I'm repeating some things that others have said this morning, but it's worth repeating because human beings are flesh and blood. We are prone to error, and to find a remarkable man as Rick, who loved his daughters so much, and his a great highlight of his life was the birth of a granddaughter. This kind of an individual are unique. They are unique. And he did serve as an inspiration to all of us. And that will never be able to be said for the courage and the strength that he exhibited throughout his lifetime. And as both Larry, Jack, Francine, and the girls have all said, he gave out more to his friends and his family than I think all of us could have given to him. He was an open-handed, giving, loving human being. May his soul rest in peace. Amen.